I want to thank each and every one of you for being here. And I don't just mean for being here, but for being an intimate part of what to me, and I think to us, is a very special sacred hour together. And just sharing your beautiful, precious, divine self with us. And I think one thing I would just like to put into words, even though we all know it, is that every one of us, we're all like a continual source of blessings to each other. We're that every day, and in fact, every minute of every day. But when we come together, like we do here, joining together like once every month, and welcome, by the way, if you're new to us or you're not here regularly on other months, that blessing is actually heightened. It's more alive. It's more potent. And so I want to invite each one of us to sit back and to drink in all the blessings that are here in this hour, and just simply let go into the beautiful magic of life that surrounds us and enters us and flows through us as we speak. And just as we start tonight, I have a very special little announcement. It's kind of a dedication. I would like to dedicate this hour formally to a person whose name I won't mention, only because I've not gotten to talk to him or his family about whether they would like me to mention his name, so I'm going to leave it anonymous, but a person who's in the hospital just recovering from surgery on the East Coast now. And we are very close to a special member of his family and to him and his precious wife. And so this talk, this coming together, all the blessings here, in addition to flowing to all of us, are especially heartfully, beautifully dedicated to this beautiful man who is in the hospital as we speak. You know, when I opened myself earlier today to the topic for this evening's talk, it's cute when I do that, by the way, because I watch all sorts of things flow through my eyes. So I watched a whole bunch of titles just flow in front of my eyes, and the titles went something like this: The Beauty of Soul, The Wonder of Soul, The Magnificence of Soul, The Awesomeness of Soul, the Deliciousness of Soul, and so on. I think you get the idea. Until that title that Donna put into words when she introduced our time together today formulated itself very solidly before my eyes and just settled in the center of my heart. And that title, of course, is The Perfection of Soul. And the perfection of soul, just think about those words for a minute. And as we put these few precious words under our inner microscope, if you will, and allow them to just swirl around our innermost consciousness, the perfection of soul, that perfection can speak to us in a number of ways. For example, it can say that perfection lies solidly within this majestic phenomenon called our soul. Another thing that these words, the perfection of soul, can say to us is that the perfection itself is deeply lodged within the center of each and every one of us. And another, that we ourselves are perfect, with no ifs, no buts, no ands about it. Perfection, it's a strange word, isn't it? It's a curious word. Actually, it's a quite powerful word. Perfection, just you know, let it sort of roam around the space of your mind. Could it be that this simple word that so often and so meekly creeps ever into the center of many spiritually oriented conversations bespeaks a very central truth about you and about me, a really profound, important truth, a compelling, often overlooked truth, a truth that I think has chosen this hour to express itself anew to us and within our awareness? Could it be, perhaps, that when we talk about the perfection of our soul, we're really expressing the remarkable truth that you and I are perfect? That's right, really and truly perfect. Utterly, audaciously perfect. I mean perfect. It's a remarkable statement to make. This declaration that you're perfect is, on the one hand, absurd and nonsensical in the face of our typical dualistic thinking, which of course is based in turn on a long-lasting assumption that there's a serious flaw in our human makeup. So whether we call that flaw original sin, as some religious traditions might label it, or a deeply embedded shame or sense of shame, as some psychological traditions might call it, or a deep experience of separation, like separation from God or from self, for example, as some spiritual traditions might describe it, most human beings I have known carry around deep in their core consciousness an underlying fundamental assumption that there's just something wrong with them, and probably with the rest of us as well. So, to express clearly and blatantly and confidently that you and I are nothing short of perfect, to proclaim that perfection flows through our veins, exudes from ourselves, to assert that perfection is in fact, in truth, our created, inherited nature, or to declare that this divinely gifted inherent state of endless perfection has never ever left us, and in fact can't ever leave us, is indeed a most radical statement. Radical in the sense that it cries out its insane rose-colored glasses-based perception in the face of centuries-long experiences of human logic. It assaults, if you will, the tried and true conclusions of our long-trained reason. It forces us to stretch that foundational unconscious-level assumption that we're all somehow fundamentally flawed, and it requires us to think. Yep, that's it, to think. It's a terrible thing. I don't know about you, I hate to think. It requires us to think deeply, and then more deeply, and then even more deeply, beyond that trained reason, deeper than our learned perceptions, and in fact farther than our most basic assumptions about the very nature of reality itself. Yes, to even hold the perception that you're quite perfect in and of yourself, no need to change, challenges the most fundamental definition of life, and seems to be the exact opposite of our historical human declaration about the nature of reality. How could you, I might say to you, how could you throw away this tried and true, like the red, white, and blue belief? I learned that, by the way, that term, tried and true, like the red, white, and blue. When our son was about 2 years old, we used to read this story to him, and it had that tried and true, like the red, white, and blue thing. I've never forgotten it, so you get it. So how could you throw away this tried and true, like the red, white, and blue belief that you're a loser, that you're at least suspect, that if nothing else, you have to prove yourself worthy or likable or lovable or beautiful or somethingable. Well, in short, how could you? Well, all kidding aside, even though we are playing somewhat comically together vis-a-vis this seeming conundrum, in most of us, we consciously have come to believe that we are indeed perfect. You and I, we know it. Totally perfect. Perfect in the eyes of the divine. Deeply perfect in our own eyes. And so innately perfect that we have a right to act and interact on this planet as a perfectly designed, perfectly operating, perfectly confident actor on the stage of life. Get the theme? It's about perfect. Yet as we look, you and I, more deeply into what I'd like to call our psyches, or as we explore the deeper realms of our personal depths, we discover some of that historically convincing, that dualistically compelling, that deeply entrenched belief, the belief that there's something wrong, or something less, or something unworthy, or suspect, or dark, or bad, or unlovable about us. Right there, living at the bottom of the barrel of who we are. And so, it's been my sense that no matter how spiritually attuned we are, no matter how evolved or awake our consciousness is, no matter how smart we are spiritually or psychologically or philosophically, we find ourselves still feeling bad about ourselves, or not quite sure of ourselves, or still holding back from being totally, unabashedly who we really are in relation to the world around us, still doubting our personal, innate, inherent right to take full charge of our circumstances, still thinking that maybe somebody else is better than we are, still feeling some kind of internal melancholy or sadness that comes from some personal sense that maybe something dark or sinister is lurking in our deeper realms, still telling ourselves that maybe we've not passed the test we need to pass in order to feel totally good about ourselves. So, let's look at our perfection a little more in depth. Let's invite tonight together in a way where we totally support each other in it. Invite our deeper realms of awareness and knowing into the conversation about perfection, our perfection. Let's invite those inner depths to get the notion, the idea, the truth about our perfection even more fully, even more deeply, even more totally. But first, let's go back, if you will, to the title of this evening's talk, The Perfection of Soul. Why do we call ourselves to go to soul to find our internal perfection? Well, first of all, I deeply believe it's because it's in our souls that the purest, most central truth about ourselves is permanently lodged. It's here, in that treasure-filled soul, that our greatest wisdom lives and thrives. It's right here, in our dependable, all-embracing, all-loving soul, that we can find the answers to all those perplexing questions that otherwise so cleverly, so consistently stump our logical minds. Yep, it's right there, in our all-knowing souls, that you and I find not just the theory that we're perfect, but where we can experience the fact that we are so. It's in that treasure chest of our souls that we can dig up the long-hidden awareness that every cell of our body, every thought in our mind, every feeling in our emotion is utterly perfect, no matter what any other theory says. And it's in our divinely rooted souls that we can actually experience perfection. Our perfection, my perfection, your perfection, perfection everywhere. So, with your permission, I'd like to read, and I'm being totally self-absorbed here, I'd like to read the introduction to my soon-to-be-released CD and booklet of poetry that I'm entitling The Soul in Love. And no, this is really not a promotion. The introduction carries the words of our soul. It speaks the words of our soul as it invites us to share the soul's vision about us, the soul's vision about life through the poems that follow. But this evening, I'm intending that these words from the introduction speak directly to us about the very nature of who we are. And the words go something like this. Hello, I'm your soul, and I'm in love. Yes, deliriously, passionately, and hopelessly in love. I'm in love with everything that exists, you see, but especially I'm deeply in love with you and with that mysterious world called your life. I have no choice, you know, for I'm your soul, the purely, clearly loving you, the you that sees life with unclouded eyes, that embraces everything in its deepest truth, that knows not how to judge or condemn, that cherishes the perfection that resides everywhere. I was with you, you know, when you swallowed your first breath of earthly air, and I've lived in your ever-glowing heart, every day of your budding life, and from this sacred home, your heart, where I nurture your uncluttered truth, I love you fully, cherish you deeply, and encourage you endlessly, proclaiming your seamless worth at every turn, urging you on when times are especially hard, softly nudging, inviting you always to remember, to remember, to remember most of all the sacredness of your beautiful self, the perfection of your human condition, the wonder of your majestic life, and even the magic of every event that enters that life. To remember, to remember the divine touch embedded in everything you are and see, the infinite miracle veiled within whatever you embrace, and the utter preciousness of every moment of your life in which this planet's warm embrace so tenderly holds you. I've written these poems to help you recapture these sacred memories and to invite you to taste anew my undying devotion. As I whisper the sweet nothings of my wisdom into your inner ear and fill you now with the wondrous love that lives endlessly within me, my wish is that as you experience my soulful presence within you, you will more and more see yourself through my soulful eyes and experience everything in your person as I do, as a human expression of divine love, infinite beauty, wondrous perfection. And while you sample my whisperings, the whisperings of my spirit-filled vision, know that I am tenderly holding you, embracing you, just as an adoring mother graciously cuddles her child to help you love yourself with abandon, embrace your worth without question, drink in life's beauty with awe, and live with soul every moment of your amazing life. And may I repeat just a few short verses of this poem, just for the effect and the emphasis that we're gathered together here today to experience. And again, they're the voice of your soul telling you this: I love you fully, cherish you deeply, encourage you endlessly, proclaiming your seamless worth at every turn, urging you on when times are especially hard, softly nudging, inviting you always to remember. To remember most of all the sacredness of your beautiful self, the perfection of your human condition, the wonder of your majestic life. Yes, it's right in this ever-present, ever-nurturing soul that this everyday, every-moment whisper can be heard. The whisper that says how totally lovable you and I are. Worthy we are, beautiful we are, wondrous we are, deserving of celebration, how fantastic and how, yes, delicious we are. Unbelievably wonderful and grand we are, totally divine, infinitely glorious we are, and to say it in the most simple terms possible, how truly special and deserving of our own embrace, our own celebration, our own adoration we are. I think what a joy it is that we have a quality right in our core, alive and well, that knows this phenomenal truth, and that quality we call soul. What a privilege, I think, to have, to be able to access at this moment and at any moment's notice that innermost wellspring of truth, that most important central truth about ourselves that tells us that there's nothing wrong with us, that we're indeed worthy, in truth deserving, in fact enough. You're enough, in fact. And in reality, you're a beautiful, loved, cherished child of the divine, loving Creator. You know, I found a short quote a while back that I actually love. It's one that's contained in the Gemara Shabbat, the sacred Hebrew text that interprets the Talmud and the Mishnah. And it's a really simple quote. It goes like this: the body is like clothing for the soul. That's the quote. I want to repeat it. The body is like clothing for the soul. And what that quote means to me is that everything human about us, not just the body, is like the clothes around who we really are. Soul-centered persons, soul-filled beings, soul-driven presences, soul-inspired embodiments, soul-propelled individuals. In other words, we are soul, short and simple, you and I. We are soul. Everything else about us, our personalities, our bodies, our emotions, for example, demonstrates and expresses the dualistic and wonderful flavors of that precious soul, just like the distinctive flavors of ice cream lead us to appreciate the essence of ice cream in so many ways as we're eating it and experiencing it. Everything else about us, like our singular style of thinking, for example, or our unique sense of purpose, or our distinctive self-concept, they're expressions of that soulful, real self, that amazing replica of the divine that we are. Ah, indeed, how amazing you and I are. We all are as soulful, divine, perfect, wondrous beings. So let's look together into this treasure chest of wisdom, into this wellspring of truth, into this deeply inherent gift that resides in our core, indeed in every cell, every atom of our body, into this miraculous gift called our soul. And while I talk away through these next moments as though there were no tomorrow, please allow yourself just to sit comfortably in the inner living room of your loving heart, sitting right next to the warm, generous fireplace of your adoring soul, drinking in the uncountable blessings and invisible gifts that will fill you during this time, and let yourself absorb your soul's truth, maybe like never before. And now that you're there, I'd like to become the external voice of your soul. And as my words express the general voice of your soul to you, please let yourself listen more intuitively to your soul's inner voice as it speaks more personally, more specifically to you. I hear your soul telling you the following truth about yourself. Hello, it's good to see you again. Thanks for visiting me today, and thanks for sitting again in that special comfortable chair that I've reserved only for you. Now that you're here, I have a special message that I've been waiting to give you. It's, in fact, that most deeply held secret that I unveil before your inner eyes from time to time, usually only when you're ready to hear it, often when your mind is more open to the biggest truth about who you are. And I'm ready to speak it again for you and to you now. It's this: you are nothing short of God. That's right, you are a divine presence, alive and alert in a divinely created world, placed in this garden that we've called Eden to have a divine experience of a divinely crafted life. You, divine, infinite, you, an embodiment of me, you, a representation, a manifestation of who I am, of what I am, you, beautiful, precious, amazing replica of my all-inspiring being, you, remarkable, charismatic expression of my wonder, you, my adored creation and my treasured co-creator, you, my perfect creature, my perfect co-creator, my perfect act of creation, you, my perfect miracle. I created you, you know, not as someone separate from me, but as an exact mirror of myself. I fashioned you from the limitless resource of life's unknowable mystery, from the space beyond all knowable reality, from pure divinity itself. Ah, when I look at you, I gasp, literally, with a deep sense of awe. I'm taken aback by the unending glory of the beautiful creation that you indeed are. I admire every compelling aspect and characteristic of your presence. I celebrate, yes, I even adore the complete perfection of your being, and I stand in utter awe of the glory of myself that is reflected in everything that you are. When I look at you through your educated human eyes, the eyes that see something about you that appears lacking, or when I feel you through your trained human senses, those senses that feel deep pain and troublesome unworthiness, or when I hear your learned human thoughts, those thoughts that so wrongly assume that there's a defect in your core. I feel actually a profound sense of shock, an unqualified reaction of amazement, a penetrating sense of sheer disbelief as I ask myself how it could ever be that you do not see yourself as I see you, feel yourself as I feel you, know yourself as I know you. Indeed, if I speak frankly to you at this cozy and warm fireside chat, there's nothing wrong with you. Nothing. There never was. There isn't now. There will never be, never could be anything wrong with you. I created you perfect. End of debate. End of discussion. You are me. I am you. Nothing else is needed, nothing else required, nothing else sought after. You are whole and complete. I made you that way. I love you. I love you just as you are, perfect. And it's not that I love you despite your faults. It's that I can't even see any faults. It's not that I adore you in spite of your failings. Frankly, I don't even notice any failings on your part. And it's not that I embrace and continually nurture you with my spiritual gifts, even though you disappoint me. You never disappoint me. What I'm saying to you is this. I know the clear truth about you, not just the imagined illusion. I see the complete perfection of you, not your assumed failing. I see the sublime wonder of you, not your blinded beliefs of personal unworthiness. In fact, I'm daily fascinated, yes, fascinated by the utter splendor of your human presence, not distracted by some imagined problem that weighs you down. So, in conclusion, I, your all-knowing, all-loving, all-inspiring soul, see you for who you are. And I'm willing to tell you every day, any way, any moment of any way, any day, how you thrill me, how you delight me, how you bring me untold joy, how you amaze my parent-like heart, and how you are filled with such divine wonder that I have no choice but to adore you as I adore me. In short, I love you. Well, again, and this is now me, Bill, speaking, how privileged we are, you and I, to have and hold this sacred knowing, this divine unconditional love in our hearts, in our souls. Better yet, how fortunate we are to have this life-changing truth broadcast strongly into our minds, fed nurturingly into our cells, infused penetratingly into our emotions, massaged lovingly into our hearts every minute of every day from that deep, sacred place within us that we call our soul. There was a man by the name of Paul Brunton, a well-known British philosopher and mystic who died in, I think, 1981, who wrote these words, "There is an image of God within each man. Once seen, he will forever after court union with it." And I apologize for the fact that he doesn't mention woman in his generation. That was implied. I want to read it again. "There is an image of God within each man. Once seen, he will forever after court union with it." And that image of God that Paul Brunton is referring to is what we usually call our soul. But the truth is, that soul, that image of God within each of us, is in fact the real you and the real me. Yes, we are a divine self, you and I. We are divine, period. And therefore, we are perfect, period. It's our nature. It's our birthright. It's our truth. It's our destiny. It's our splendor. It's our calling. It's our purpose. It's our fulfillment. A man by the name of Don Miguel Ruiz, a contemporary Mexican author and shaman whom many of you have read, wrote these short but telling words in his book called Toltec Prophecies of Don Miguel Ruiz. we are God, dreaming that we are not God. It's the most adorable word or sentence. We are God, dreaming that we are not God. And that's just the way it is. Back here at the proverbial ranch, if you will, right here on the love-filled planet called Earth, right here in River City, I couldn't help myself. We are God right here, dreaming that we are not God. I think the sentence says it all. What it says to me is, we are perfect. We are beautiful. We are elegant. We are splendid. We are magnificent. And a thousand other superlative adjectives that we would normally assign either to the divine or to someone or some phenomenon whom or which we deeply, completely admire. We are simply perfect, and there's nothing more to say. So despite the dream that Don Miguel so aptly describes, the one where we're making believe that we're not perfect, we remain what we always were and always will be, perfect. Divinely perfect, beautifully perfect, or, if you will, just plain perfect. Yes, the dream. The dream is fun. You know, that's what I think. That's what it was meant to be. Dreaming and making believe is an intimate part of what this funny, silly human experience is all about. It's what the perennial child within you and me does all the time. We fantasize, we make believe, we pretend, we dream of all possibilities, then we try them out, we try them on in our dreams. And we're here dreaming that possibility that maybe we're not totally perfect. Yet what's utterly elegant in the design of our human creation is that we have the rare gift of being able to be inside the dream and outside it at the same time. To be inside, for example, the dreamed experience of not being God, of not being completely perfect on the one hand, and on the other, to be over the forest of that very same dream, outside the confines of that dream, in the bigger truth that lives beyond the dreamed fantasy, and to know the truth and illusion at the same time. The truth of our perfection and the illusion of our non-perfection simultaneously, and to be celebrating both of them. So may I repeat that, because it's so very, very important. We can be inside and outside any dream, any fantasy, any illusion, any reality, any thought, any belief, any feeling at the same time. We can celebrate the truth that we are totally and irrevocably perfect, and celebrate the fantasy that we are completely imperfect at the same time. It's that both and deal rather than either or. And in fact, I think what makes human living rich is we get to experience all realities, all versions of thought, all possibilities at one and the same time, right here in River City, on the ranch, to experience ourselves, both being and not being at the same time, for example, to experience absolute and clear truth and creative and dreamed fable simultaneously, to experience our total divine wonder and our seeming human misery in the very same breath. Yes, my deepest sense is that what makes our human experience of life so remarkable, and this just may be the one singular thrilling fact or factor that keeps so many of us infinitely exquisite souls coming to this human playground for their cosmic vacation, I thought that was too good, is, let me back up, what makes our human experience of life so remarkable is that we can and indeed are here to be knowing, owning, and living the exquisite truth of our divine perfection, and at the same time dreaming, experiencing, and playing in its seeming opposite, the opposite called our imagined and dreamed imperfection at the same time. As we know, though, when we're aware of the bigger truth of our perfection while we're dreaming about our imagined imperfection, a strange and wonderful power enters our psyche. Something happens. When we're in both places at the same time, the powerful something that enters our psyches is the power to play more creatively with and in that perceived imperfection. The strength to take that dreamed of imperfection a little or maybe a lot less seriously. The clout to take more magical charge of that felt imperfection, the personal ability to laugh heartily at the funny game of our seeming imperfections dynamics, and even the personal authority to navigate our way clearly through both reality, our perfection, and dream, our imperfection, with a bigger sense of freedom and fun. And in this regard, the illustrious Joseph Campbell, that beautiful master of mythology who passed from this planet in 1987, wrote these words in his book entitled A Hero with a Thousand Faces. Wherever the hero may wander, and by the way, my commentary is that hero is you. Wherever the hero may wander, he is ever in the presence of his own essence. And we, of course, could call that essence soul. For he has the perfected eye to see. And if I may change those just to include male and female in it. Wherever the hero may wander, he or she is ever in the presence of his or her own essence, for that person has the perfected eye to see. We have the perfected eye to see. So let us now return anew, you and I, to the inner living room of our innermost core, to that hearth or fireplace of our precious soul. Let's peer anew into that wealth of soulful resource. Let's delve more heartily into that treasure chest of soulful truth and see what we might find or discover there, what we might softly touch in our hearts or open in our minds. What is your soul telling you right now about your perfection? How might your soul be inviting you into that beautiful perfection right now, or perhaps for later this evening, or even tomorrow? Is your soul sharing with you a special invitation, or perhaps a personally meaningful approach or technique for accessing that deeper truth of yourself? Perhaps the approach of listening with your inner ear, or maybe just resting quietly in your heart and letting go into your soul's gifts, or perhaps directly asking for that outside the dream truth of your divine heritage to fill you. For me, and I just feel like sharing it, I have one of those what I'd like to call non-practice practices. It's a more instinctive, non-thought-based orientation to this wonder-filled truth called our perfection. And I have to warn you that it's both very simple and natural, but it seems to work quite well for me, which doesn't, of course, guarantee that it's got your name on to it. But I offer it to you as an option. Here's what I do. I simply look at what seems imperfect. And without any attempt to talk myself out of that perception, I look equally at it through the eyes of my soul's wisdom. Or you might want to look at it through the all-loving eyes of the divine. And I get the full picture of both perceptions, perfect, imperfect. Then without any attempt on my part to choose one over the other, I simply, with both of them before my eyes, I simply let go. And I let go to whatever is. I allow the experience to be whatever it is, whatever it wants to be. In a sense, no effort on my part, no objective I try to pursue or attain, no personal sense of one perception being better or worse than the other, and for me, no mental ideology or underlying belief about either side of the equation, no big process. Just looking through both sets of eyes, through the dreamed experience of imperfection, and the outside the dream reality of perfection. And once I feel that both of them are equally represented, I just let go. I guess I trust that whatever is most real, or whatever my soul wants to grab onto, or whatever most wants to speak to me, will happen. And I just move on with my life. And again, I offer this seemingly simple approach to you just in case your soul might invite you to it or some version of it for yourself. So I'd like to conclude our talk this evening, our conversation, about our inherent perfection with a related but possibly non-connected thought. And I'm doing this very much on purpose. As many of you know, there are some ancient and modern spiritual traditions that apply the truth of our perfection to the practice and art of healing, personal healing, physical healing, emotional healing, etc. And I feel really moved this evening to share this approach as a way of applying it directly to the person to whom I referred at the beginning of our talk this evening, the person who's recovering from surgery on the East Coast as we speak, and to his precious family. And in these modern approaches, we simply visualize or remind ourselves of the full, clear truth that this person, or for you, it could be your own symptom or your own perceived imperfection or a problem or a drama or an issue or whatever. So we simply visualize or remind ourselves of the truth that this person is perfect. Totally, completely perfect. Created perfect, born perfect, still perfect right now. And that this perfection, and I'm inviting all of us to join with me in this for this beautiful man on the East Coast and for each and every one of us and for anything and everything that you might want to include here. And that this perfection is still the ultimate and real truth about this person right here, right now. And that this perfection is the truth and therefore is stronger than, fuller than, more powerful than any belief about imperfection or any dreamed or imagined problem. And as we simply let our thoughts and hearts see and know the absolute perfection of this person, or again, for you it could be any symptom or situation, we know that this innate and powerful perfection now has the authority to enter into the dreamed imperfection, or in this instance, into this person's symptoms, or the body's current needs, and right now for this beautiful person recovering from surgery, or for any other person or circumstance or issue you personally might want to apply this approach to, I and we see this person's perfection entering into his symptoms that necessitated the surgery, into the current state of his body, into the inner beliefs and assumption that within his depths that are now receptive to the healing power of his inherent perfection, and into anything and everything in his beautiful person that needs any help, any response, and any miracle now. And we know that every particle and cell of his body is now awakened to his innate perfection and responds to it, is now awakened to every element within his perfection, that every element of his brain is taking on the healing power of that perfection, that everything within his psyche and subconscious functioning is cooperating with the plan of that perfection for his recovery, his health, and his full human living right now. And I thank you. I thank you all for participating in this experience of healing and love for this precious person and for whatever or whomever you also intended this ritual. And I invite you, if you want, to include this kind of approach to anything within yourself forever. I just am so touched, actually so blown away by your beauty, and I guess to bring it back to the to the theme of the evening, your perfection. And truly, every now and then, Donna and I say to each other how totally blessed we are, that we've got to be the most blessed people in the whole world because we get to hang out with you. And we get to be soul connected to you and with you. And we get to experience the way those blessings always, always happen. I would love to complete our time over the next 5 minutes or so with a meditative style poem. And for those of you who would prefer to just be in your own space and just continue to listen to your own soul's precious inner whispers, please feel free to ignore everything that I'm saying here. But I'd like to close with a poem that I wrote called Eagle's Eye. And it reflects so much of what our time together this evening is about. It goes like this. Have you ever seen the space that thrives above the forest of our lives? How grand it is, what breadth it gives, what vision it spies? No wonder the birds that claim these skies seem so wondrously free as they glide so gracefully above the earth's open canopy. Oh, to be a hawk, a falcon, an eagle, a raven, and see life's grand schemes, its far-reaching themes, its secreted haven. Ah, if bird we could be, what might we now see, or perhaps envision, that as ordinary mortals seems beyond our so limited vision? If you were a bird flying above this forest of life, what, think you, might your vast vision be like as you soar, sweep, scan, sway, and circle in flight? As you fly free, unfettered, unbounded, the spaciousness that captures your view might just leave you astounded. Well, in a moment of surprise, a strange question circled round my mind. Is there, inside me, the same vision, perhaps, my own eagle's eye, that offers me the ceaseless view afforded by the mile-high sky? Is there concealed somewhere within me a knowing as vast as infinite space, an inner bird that soars freely, sees clearly, and can fill me with vision's grace? I listened with my inner ear as it probed the echoes of my own deep sphere to see if perhaps some bird could be heard or that inner vision stirred. I'm here, I'm here. I heard these surprising words from deep inside. It was my own inner bird, my infinite soul that soars so wide. As above, so below, the voice continued to impart. Whatever flies boundlessly above and sees the forest's true art soars equally, far-seeingly, in the lower skies of your very own heart. Yes, I discovered there is an eagle within. It's right here, with an eyesight so vast, a vision so clear, a knowing that's pure and a wisdom without peer. It lives within the forest of my own soaring soul, my own winged mind, and flies with the same freedom that the birds find so kind. Come, join me in this inner eagle's nest, now so near, and share with me this clear-seeing sphere, where the air is pure, the vision is sure, the sounds are clear. Where we know perfection's secrets, so cleverly hidden within the forest's dimmer light, where life swiftly appears bright, and the view quickly becomes a delight. So bring on the birds that live within our hearts, unleash the inner eagle that soars within and the wisdom it imparts, and unveil the view that our soul brings from on high. We are free, you and I, with wings so alive, so spry, with wings that allow us to soar, to fly, to ascend to the sky. Feel the breeze, enjoy the ease, claim the space where spirit excites us, where clarity delights us, where our perfection gives us such endless grace. And if I may repeat the last line, where our perfection gives us such endless grace. I want to thank you. Thank you so very, very much for an evening overflowing with love, teeming with grace, and just brilliant with the joy of experiencing your perfection. I am truly, truly blessed. May you, and this is my final wish for all of us, May you always, always, always experience and know the utter beauty, divinity, wonder, and perfection of your very being. Thank you for a beautiful, beautiful night.